So, we know when we start davening, wherever we are, we have to face towards Yerushalayim. That's the halacha in the Mishnah. What does it mean? When you stand up to pray, you have to connect yourself to something. Believe it or not, it's not enough to connect yourself to God. You have to stand facing Yerushalayim, the Holy of Temple, and the Holy of Holies. Right? If you're in Yerushalayim, you face the Holy Temple. And if you're in the Holy Temple, you face the Kodesh HaKadashim. Face Yerushalayim, and you connect to Yerushalayim. Even the essence of Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. You should see the Shlemut. So it's a place you have to see. Yerushalayim fixes our eyes. Why? If I'm standing in Hawaii and my face is toward Yerushalayim, who cares? You can't see Yerushalayim from here. There's so many oceans, so much land, so many people in between. Why does it matter? What do you think, Elon? Why does it matter if I can't see it that I turn towards Yerushalayim?
You're directing your energy there.
Awesome. It does matter. The physical, the spiritual, the divine, it's all one. Physically standing towards Yerushalayim is the greatest, holiest thing in the world. There's a very simple way of seeing Yerushalayim when you're in Hawaii. You just stand there facing Yerushalayim and you begin to daven. If you want to, you can see it. To see it in a different type of way though. If you can't see it, it means you weren't really interested. Now Rav Shlomo gives it a beautiful mashal. When you fly, they sell you those earphones to show you movies. And they tell it to cost you $250. I don't know, some airplanes are fancy. They don't do that. But in the cheaper airplanes, in Shlomo's days, they would charge you for the earphones. If you really want to see the movie, you'll pay for it. If you don't pay, you're really not that interested in seeing the movie. When you begin to daven, Eliyahu Navi comes and says, "Brother, I have some earphones for you. They cost very little. Just a little concentration, a little joy, a little cleansing of your kishkas, of your heart. Then you get earphones and special glasses. If you really want to hear, if you really want to see, you'll get the earphones or special glasses from Eliyahu and Avi. Then you'll really hear. Then you'll really see. If I open my heart of hearts, I can always, no matter where I am, see Yerushalayim." Wow. That was something from The Soul of Jerusalem by Shlomo Katz. Beautiful words about connecting to Yerushalayim. Okay? A few more words on Yerushalayim from Rabbi Shlomo. A Yidola came to the holy Sanzer. And he said, "I'm leaving for Yerushalayim, the holy city." Everybody knows that the holy Sanzer limped. The greatest thing the Sanzer would do was walk someone to the door. He would very seldom walk behind them on the street. Yet the holy Sanzer, limping and tears rolling down his face, and with tears, escorted the Jew. The whole time, he was yelling at the top of his lungs, "Give my regards to Yerushalayim, the holy city. Let Yerushalayim know who I am." Funny, I was just listening to a YouTube shiur from Yamima Mizrahi, and she was saying that every day, wherever you are in the world, say hi to your mom. Say hi, mom. Who's your mom? Ema banu smicha, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But who's the other mom? Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. It says you should request the shalom of Yerushalayim. David Melch says you should always ask, "How's Yerushalayim doing?" So wherever you are, a Jew should be thinking of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael. And the Sanzer, when he heard a Jew was going to Yerushalayim, he couldn't hold himself back. He wanted to escort a Jew because just thinking about Yerushalayim awakens something within us, wherever we are. And that's why when you're getting married, what do we think of? We think of Yerushalayim. How can I have a deep moment in life when I don't think about Yerushalayim? Every day in tefillah, we're always thinking about Yerushalayim. We've always, for thousands of years, thinking about Yerushalayim. Okay. A little bit more Yerushalayim Torah. So Shlomo says, it's a city that wakes you up. I want to tell you something very beautiful. In Hebrew, the word ear, which is spelled with the letters Ayin Yud Resh, means city. Right? What else is ear related to? Related to the word Lhit Orer. Like Uri Uri. To wake up. The root word is the same. Yerushalayim is called Ir HaKodesh, the holy city. But it really means the city which wakes up all that which is holy within you. It's mitorer. When you come to Yerushalayim, you have to wake up. And it goes even deeper. Yerushalayim wakes up the world. It's the center of the world, and it wakes up the whole world. It wakes up the world to what real peace is. It wakes up the world to getting on time for Shabbos. It wakes up the world to feel and experience God in the most real way. Beautiful. That's one of the reasons why I particularly love Yerushalayim. It's for me, it's just being at the Kotel and being in the Old City in particular, you just see people who are alive or woken up to this deeper purpose. It's like when you go to a Beit Midrash late at night. It's like, yeah, you wanted to learn, but like, whatever. You maybe, you know, chill a little bit, learn a little, and fall asleep. When you go to a Beit Midrash, you suddenly have this awakening. I just want to shtay. I just want to sit down and like take that sefer and like pound it out for another hour. It's like, you know, something about it just wakes you up. So that's also Yerushalayim. This place that wakes up all that is holy within a Jew. Kavath. The meeting place for the tefillahs. In Yerushalayim, you can touch the tears of the whole world. Because we know that all the prayers of the world are coming to Yerushalayim. Right? That's the famous idea that every tefillah has to go to Yerushalayim before it goes up to Shamayim. It's a Yudeshar Shamayim. So when you're here, there's something about it. You just feel the tefillahs of the whole world. Especially at the Kotel. Especially at Har Habayit. But wherever you are in Yerushalayim, you can tap into this. Okay. Gevat. So, Bezat Hashem. Those are some Yerushalayim Torahs. Let's do maybe 5 more minutes of the next topic is Shacharis. This is all, again, we're all just by way of introduction. Soon we'll get to open the Siddur itself, and we'll take the words of Tefillah. Obviously, we're still had much more to say about everything here. I'm just, you know, he can find in his books tons about Yerushalayim. I just took a few quotes here, a few quotes there. I kind of scattered it throughout the book. So then we have to do Yerushalayim Ircha a little bit there, and more Yerushalayim quotes to come. Don't worry. Okay, so the Gemara says that each of the Avos established a different Tefillah. And of course, who established Shacharis? Avram Avinu. So, Rav Shlomo says there's something deep about that. The morning prayer was initiated by our father Avram. I'm sure you understand, when I say Avram initiated the morning prayer, especially when we say, it does not only mean that we take out a prayer book and we pray in the morning. Waking up in the morning, this is Avraham. You get it? The essence of Avraham is the ability to wake up in the morning. Because what do you do when you live in a pagan world? What do you do when everything is broken? You hold on to that drop which is coming down from heaven. Right? And there's a special energy which comes down from heaven in the morning. And Avraham Avinu tapped into that special energy, and that's what helped him get through a world which was so different, which had such different values than here. Nichab? So Avram being Matachin Shachar is really, Avram energy represents that energy of tapping into the morning, that energy of godliness which allows you to resist whatever the whole world tells you. Right? It's that energy of like when you wake up in the morning and even if you had a terrible night, it's just, you start afresh. Awesome. Okay. Next, Shlomo wants to teach us a little bit about shul. We're going to the shul. Of course, Shlomo's had his own shul in Manhattan, which he and his brother helped run for his father's shul. He also had the Karl Bach shul in Moshav. But really, Shlomo's whole avoda in life was wherever he went. He was constantly a walking shul. Right? And he was zocha to really change the shul experience, the Beis Knesset experience for all of Am Yisrael.
We should all be a walking shul.
We should all be a mamish. Oh, so what's a shul? So a shul is a holy elevator, says Rosh Shlomo. When I come to shul, the synagogue, I don't want to find the same things I found on the street. I want something to lift me up. I want to get into a little holy elevator. Gevat. And that was Rosh Shlomo's dream. Some people don't get it. People come to shul, and they're schmoozing. They want us to see their friend. And I totally get it. They haven't seen their friends for a while, and it's important to connect. It's the most important thing, to connect to the Jewish people. But then they're talking in the middle of shul, and people shush them. And people get really annoyed. A lot of people are really, how dare you shush me? And the truth is, I wouldn't necessarily recommend shushing people all the time, because they won't take it the right way. And yeah, it's probably wiser to come over in a nice way, or you have to know who you're dealing with and who you're talking with and what doing the right in a nice way. Shushing never really comes off well. It's just a shutdown. It's like aggressive.
Yeah, but sometimes you need
right. Uh-huh. But now that we're, what would I explain to them? I'll tell them, shul is not meant to be a place where just like any other place. The whole point is shul, you're in a holy elevator, like Rosh Hashanah. You're in a different world. You're in an energy of holiness and kedusha and connection to something greater. And so to create that environment, we need that quiet, we need that tefillah, we need that song. Right? It's supposed to be a different energy. So if you're talking, even though it's nice, you're taking away from that special holy elevator. So even though Rav Shlomo was a very, very non-Musar personality, he would, when we're singing or davening, he would be very machbid. Very machbid that there shouldn't be talking during that time. So, Mezrat Hashem. Okay, Gevalt. Mezrat Hashem. Okay, one more final teaching for today. We'll sing a song. Clapping. Okay, so there's an idea from Rabbi Nachman that clapping brings harmony into the world. It's from Likutei Maharan. He says somehow clapping brings harmony to the world. That's why it's interesting. In Shlomo Shul, everyone sings and dances and claps. And I'll tell you, I actually had a transformation on this topic, because when I was a kid, I didn't realize that there are many shitas that you're allowed to clap on Shabbos. But I was a frumi, so when the chazan would get there and clap, you know, I didn't always, but I remember once, like you know, coming over to him and saying, like, how do you do that? The Gemara says you're not supposed to clap on Shabbos. So, okay, so there's that type of factor. He may have even been doing that. But in our Shlomo circles, we're lenient.
We have a rabbi at our school that used to clap. We all make fun of him. He's like, everyone would be clapping at the show, and you do this.
Right.
So the gesture of clapping, but he's not actually doing it.
Right, so that was so that's what I would do. I didn't get that. Later in life, I learned that there's a Tosfos which says that whole idea of clapping and dancing on Shabbos. There are many poskim who will allow you to clap and dance because we don't dance the same way they used to dance, so it's much less likely that we're going to start tuning our guitars. And that's the Shlomo Shita Heter. And now I'm a big clapper and dancer on Shabbos, so I've done a 360. But anyways, Rav Shlomo and Rabbi Nachman says it's not just good enough to clap. And Shabbos, but always you should be clapping. So besides the fact that it's nice harmony and gets everyone involved, what's the pshat? So he says like this, you know, my beautiful friends, our rabbis teach us that when you clap, you put both hands together and you bring peace to the world. Because you're taking opposite things and your mama should bring it together. So I remember when I was in, when I used to do for the Ethiopian Merkaz Klita, I used to sing, and they didn't know the tunes, but they wanted to be a part of it. So what would they always do? They were amazing clappers. And they would all clap with harmony. And now, like, I was Zocha to a wife, who's an amazing drummer. When I play, she drums. And so even if you don't know the song, clapping somehow can connect us. Alright, so that's it for the introduction to tefillah. We did Moda'ani last time. So Bezrat Hashem, we will now be ready to start Matovu and Don Olam and the rest of Tefillah Bezrat Hashem, go through the Seder. Well, let's sing one more of Yerushalayim, now that we're talking about Yerushalayim. Oh, Yerushalayim. one idea that we took from today, maybe an idea that you can share with Idan, because I'm going to send this and save this to Idan, so we can have some Torah at the doctor's office. One idea that you took with you, Ilan.
One idea
that
I took with me, dear Rabbi, is to always be facing Jerusalem when you pray. Focus your spiritual energy at the holy city here, HaKodesh.
Shkayah.